Audio Drama Production Podcast, Episode 33, How to Create a Local Audio Drama Group.
The Audio Drama Production Podcast.
Hello and welcome once again to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. My name's Robert, I'm with my colleague Matthew as ever.
Good day.
And let me just tell you a little bit about our website, audiodramaproduction.com. That's where everything we'll be talking on here ends up in written form. And a welcome to new listeners. We've had a few, haven't we? But we'll get to them later on. Why don't we talk about the episode? What's the episode all about this week?
Well, it's not something new to the show, but, you know, it's an important subject and one close to our hearts. Basically, creating your own local audio drama group because, you know, not everyone wants to work remotely or with satellite actors forever. People do want a lot more control over their work. So I think it's only fair that we kind of revisit this topic and kind of sum up some of the points that have come up over the last few months.
Yeah, well, the main point for me for working locally was it sounds better. You get a more polished finish with your audio, the reaction between the people that are acting. You know, remote actors, they don't feel the other actors. They just know the words that are written down, you know. And it's something we've always been working towards, isn't it? That we should have it as everybody in the same room. But then there's other things that have come off the back of that, like, as you say, control over your work.
Yeah, having that control over the actor's performance and over your audio as well, knowing that when you've recorded the lines that everything's in there that you want, you know, and you're going to use, there's no need for any retakes or things like that. As great as some actors you use are remotely, you know, you're always going to need retakes for this and that sort of reasons, and these things could take a few weeks sometimes. So just knowing that you've got everything that you need when you're walking away at night, you know, it's a huge positive, isn't it?
Yeah, and then there's the community feel that we talked about before. Now, there is a community online with people that do voice acting, particularly those that are all in the same similar productions. There's a few people in Edict Zero that kind of know each other on Facebook, and same with Aftermath, isn't there?
Yeah, but then you look at, Our Fair City, I think, are a wonderful example of this. They just have such a great setup. You know, they have launch parties for their seasons and everything like that, and it just looks brilliant. And I know that Matthew and Monique Boudreau as well at Oral Stage are wanting to move towards that sort of model as well. I think this is going to be the year that they sort of head in that direction. So I think we're going to see more and more of it. It's something that works really, really well.
Yeah. So having actors perform with each other, what do you see as being the positives for having them all in the same place then, other than what we've discussed?
Well, I mean, even looking at us, look at the last few weeks when we tried some stuff, and yourself and Jim, who does a lot of voice acting for us, mm-hmm. I mean, you felt that it was really enjoyable and really enhanced your performance, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, in the short term, I felt a lot more comfortable when, you know, we did two versions, one where we were all together and another where we recorded the lines separately. And I felt a lot more comfortable in the booth on my own. But at the same time, the adrenaline and the energy of being in the room with Jim and actually physically shaking his hand and reacting to him, reacting to me, it was wonderful. I want to do that much more because I think that will eventually, with practice, supersede doing the lines individually.
And not to go off tangent here, but if you look at that scene that you've mentioned where a character's walking in, shaking somebody's hand and they're walking off together, to recreate that with two dry voices recorded in the studio would take quite a bit of time to get right. You know, if you're going to add a slight pan to one of the voices as he approaches to get an authentic sounding handshake, yeah. And then to, you know, that to sit down and create that scene would take quite a long time, but you just record it there and then it's done.
10 seconds, yeah. And the whole, okay, let's go in this direction, clop, clop, or clop times two, clop, 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 with no feet turns or grunting of the body moving and the shuffling of the coat. Yeah, these are all noises that would take almost a lifetime by comparison to recreate, other than just saying, right, Jim, get your jacket on and give it a good sort of shuffle when you stand up.
Another example with that as well was when we recorded that short drama in the car And I mean, this was something that I kind of got from Jonathan Mitchell at The Truth. Again, brilliant sort of field recorded production. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about when you're recording actors in a car, the sound of somebody maybe putting the seatbelt on, the sound of them adjusting their seat. And in that scene that we recorded, you were reaching round to get your phone out your pocket.
Yeah.
And you can hear you turn round, you could hear the sort of, you had the leather jacket on, which gave a lot of good sound. You could hear your voice moving away from the microphone. So again, to create that artificially, it can be done, but you know, it would take a long, long time, wouldn't it?
I must admit, I did ham it up a little bit, knowing that the mic would be listening for the sound of me moving around, and I kind of shuffled right round until my body was twisted, giving the leather jacket a good shuggle, as we say here in Scotland. So yeah, I was playing up to that, but you're absolutely right.
So another reason to consider recording locally, you could increase your consistency of release schedule, because you can really get into the habit of doing work, and you've got other people relying on you as well, and you're relying on them. So say you're in the position to get together on a monthly or even 2-monthly basis, and this is just something that's become part of people's routine. You know that you're going to get all the audio for however many episodes you're recording that night, and say over the next 2 months you could spend time working on them, and it would give you a real opportunity to make sure that you're getting regular and consistent stuff out. And when you're doing a season, that's so, so important, I think.
Yeah, that's a diplomatic way of saying that when you've got a dozen remote actors, you're waiting from the point of the first line coming in from the first actor to the last line coming in from the last actor, including retakes. And any audio producer out there who uses remote actors knows that sometimes that can be weeks or even months for it all to come in, and then you start your work.
So the two main points to consider when you're going to work locally, I think. Number one, where will we record? And number two, where will I find actors?
Yeah, that is puzzling at times. Okay, well, we'll go with where will we record. Like, we've got the studio here in your very own home, and that's one place. But you might consider other places, of course, like colleges or recording studios.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, before we get to that, I would say in the field, this is something that, you know, Dirk Maggs mentioned it when he was on the show a few weeks ago. And he said if he was in, you know, most people's position with no budget, he would always just record stuff in the field. And he referred to a production he did with Johnny Vegas in his house, just with a couple of Zoom recorders. If it's good enough for folk like that, it's good enough for us.
Yeah.
Also, Fred Greenhalgh, he was on the Sonic Society last year, and his mentor, Roger Gregg, at Crazy Dog Audio Theatre. Fred speaks very highly. I'm great audio producer and great field recorder. And back in the day when Fred was just getting started, he'd actually said to Roger Gregg, I just don't have the budget to hire a studio. And Roger Gregg said to him, you don't need a studio. Just grab your equipment, take it outside. You're not paying by the hour at all. Go out there, record as much stuff as you need. So straight away, if your story allows for it, and we've said this in the past, you can't set something on the moon or, you know, in the far past when you've got cars going past. So if your story allows for it, consider doing that. And you only need a Zoom recorder. It really is that simple.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of audio drama out there which is sci-fi based. We've talked about that before. So I guess producers of sci-fi stuff, if they're field recording, they've got to make sure, you know, extra care that where they're recording matches whatever the characters are in their story. Like, if they're on a spacecraft or something, then a normal room could probably be okay, especially if you've got a sound effect, a bed of an underlying hum or something, they'll probably get away with it.
You could consider recording in someone's house. Again, this is something that would have to fit your story, but it's perfectly feasible you'll be writing at least some scenes in your story that take place in buildings and houses. So, you know, if you can get a good recording space in somebody's house, then yeah, you can go for that. You could record plenty of material and you can try and deal with the outdoor stuff, you know, either if you can't field record it, if you've got a sci-fi story, just record it in a sort of booth like we are now, or do what you have to do, you know, get a cupboard, get some duvets up and do your outdoors lines there. But, you know, if you can get away with recording in somebody's house, it's good, it's easy. You could get a a recording circle or a table read style record set up and take it from there.
It's definitely doable, especially if you complement your dialogue with sound effects, basically. Just, you know, paint the picture. If it's an office, but you're doing it in your house, then make sure there's a little a phone that goes every now and again in the background, or the gentle chatter of people talking about mundane office crap or whatever. And just make sure that you're painting the right picture.
You could also look to create a studio. I understand not everyone has this luxury. Space could be quite limited in your house. I mean, I'm, you know, lucky in the sense that it's just me and my wife that live here. And when we moved into the house, I managed to get this cupboard. And all I did was order some soundproof tiles, foam tiles on, I think it was Amazon. They weren't that expensive, a couple of £100. Pasted them to the wall with wallpaper paste on the walls, the underside of the roof, if you like. The underside of the roof, of course it is.
The ceiling. Yeah, we call it a ceiling.
The ceiling, yeah. And the door as well. So get a bit of carpet down and, yeah, it's not perfect, but it certainly it does the job, you know, for what we're looking to do at the moment.
Yeah, it was definitely a step up in terms of having clean audio production without any room ambience and whatever, which has been useful for, well, everything we've done since. So yeah, we're very lucky to have it.
You mentioned colleges earlier, Robert. I mean, if you're in the position where you live near a college or a university that have a sound department, look at getting in there. And this could maybe tie in, again, we'll get to where you find your actors in a minute, but that could maybe all tie in there. Approaching the college and just saying, look, we've got this thing that's going on. It might be, you know, it might help a lot of students out in their projects, even if they're sound students. Many of them might be interested in helping out because things like that, good experience and look good on people's CVs as well. So if you could get the facilities for free, then by all means, you know, the worst they could say is no, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. We've been lucky enough to go back to our old alma mater and, you know, get in touch with some of the students there that are interested in doing some voice acting and using our contacts to use the studio to that effect. And it's been a boon so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been really good, and it's good to keep that sort of relationship going. Another option, probably at the more high end of the market, is hiring a music studio, which of course can be quite expensive. But if you've got a big enough acting pool and everyone's committed enough and willing enough, you could split the cost between everyone. It wouldn't be that much, you know, if you had 7 or 8 people. So it's certainly an option. If you feel that you've no other options that we've mentioned, then by all means look at doing that if you're in the position to do so.
It would be wise, of course, to research the studios in question here, because it may not even have the type of facility you're looking for. The mics not be particularly good, or it might not be sound insulated. So there is a danger there, of course. I think you've run into that kind of thing yourself in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, you go to a music studio and you are at the mercy of the sound guy there, who might be more sort of, you know, more of a music producer, maybe doesn't quite have the subtleties required to record vocals. So
he might be expecting guitars at, you know, 300% volume or whatever, rather than the subtleties of dialogue.
Yeah, I mean, I've came across a lot of great music producers who weren't really that great, you know, when they tried their hand at audio production, at audio drama production, sorry. So, yeah, that's something to consider and do your research, like Robert says.
Yeah, I mean, rather than paying money, though, I'd be tempted to go and find a local park where there aren't too many people nearby or whatever. But it's always an option, and it's something to try. You know, it's an experience, isn't it?
So part two, then, if you've got your recording space sorted out, you're going to need some actors.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
Again, the college comes up because this is something that we did ourselves. We contacted the acting and performance department at our old college, and they were really good in putting out an email for us, just basically saying, you know, we do audio dramas. There was a couple of links to previous shows that we'd done, and we said that we'd be doing a lot of stuff this year. We were really, really looking for actors, and we got a good response. I think we got nearly 20 people got back to us. We did some sort of, called them auditions. I mean, you know, we weren't looking to turn anyone away if they were willing to turn up.
We were looking for samples, really, weren't we?
Yeah, just to see what people sounded like. I think, and this is something we'll mention in a wee bit further down, but the one wee problem with the college is you're probably going to get a lot of young people or younger people, and you can't just have all your cast being sort of 19, 20 unless the story allows for it.
Yeah, unless it's like, you know, a series set in a high school or something, in which case, yeah, you're in luck. Anything beyond that and you're going to be struggling. So not everybody's a mature student like we were.
We put the sort of feelers out in the Facebook group about this subject a few days ago. So we had some comments, and I think about contacting local drama or theatre groups, Robert.
Yeah, I mean, from my own experience, I've been looking into local drama groups as well, and there are a few out there, and I wonder, though, if they've got different training. That might be the problem as well, is that if they're stage trained, there might be a little bit of adjustment. And I wonder if anybody else out there has had the same kind of experience where they've had theatre group people come in and they've been very pronounced and broadcasting to the back of the room. But it's certainly a good place to start. You never know. We'll keep you up to date with the people that we get that might be from drama groups or theatre groups, and we're hoping to get a few people tested there. But Brian Lincoln, who we all know and love, he says, my gathering of local talent came from knowing people who were involved in other sorts of productions, be they improv comedy troupes or playwrights. Actors with any experience have communities of acting friends, so you need to find a way into their circle. That's interesting. Improv comedy troupes. That's probably a bigger thing in America than here, would you say?
Yeah, it's not something I know a lot about, to be honest, but I know that Brian has assembled a pool of actors, and he seems very excited about the whole thing, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what they come up with. It sounds brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. So, shall we have a look at another one?
Yep.
Cale Gannon says that the theatre and geek scene is good. They have a local geek partnership society, think Geek Community Centre. And he says he had his auditions there. A great crop came out to audition, and a lot of good talent in the show. So that sounds pretty promising. And Kareem C. Cronfley would concur with others. Get to know your local theatre scene, watch a couple of shows. Once you know which groups are any good, you could contact them through the groups. And there's also the ability to read off the page, which is a very difficult skill to master, and not many can do it. This goes back to what we were talking about before, that maybe getting people to memorise stuff, or at least have a really good idea of what they're saying, rather than reading it from scratch.
Don't encourage him, Kareem. Robert's obsessed with this idea.
Yeah, I want people to memorise every word. A lot of actors can only really give a good performance once the lines are committed to memory. Well, that's very interesting. Now, I mean, I would say, some of you might know, I am a very, very, very part-time radio broadcast journalist. And if I go and read out the news and I haven't read it through properly beforehand, I'm much, much more likely to stumble over the words. So I always give it a quick read through immediately before I do the broadcast. And usually that manages to get all the slips and errors out. So yeah, I think it's a good idea to at least be familiar with what you're talking about. Don't memorize it necessarily. That's probably not going to happen, but be familiar with it.
Eli McElveen says, amateur theatre groups are almost always looking for crew. Most of my cast, the ones who didn't all meet while attending the same theatre programme in university, I met through various productions I've done sound design for. And as Kareem said, some will be better at reading than others. Often there will be a read-through early in the rehearsal process for a show, or a play-reading night where they're trying out scripts for the season. Those are a good opportunity to hear people in action.
Excellent stuff. Well, that all sounds rather promising, actually. And besides all that, you can advertise on the internet, Facebook, Gumtree, Craigslist.
Just watch out for dodgy people. Don't go and meet anyone, like, just, you know, at the drop of a hat in a dark car park somewhere, because your severed head might be found several weeks later in a fridge.
Somebody I work beside, just on, while we're on Gumtree here, had said that they were selling their sofa, their couch, on Gumtree, and they got a message saying, I can put the money into your bank today and pick it up on Sunday if you give me your bank details.
Sounds legit.
Yeah, and the guy hadn't even seen it, obviously. So it was like, no, thank you.
And it wasn't the sort of code and account number a bit that you need to put money in. It was like, you know, the wee 3-digit number on the back and the long number.
The SVC number or whatever. Yeah, probably. Anyway, yeah, take care on the internet, kids. So besides that, friends. Friends that you think might be good. Those people that like to show off or maybe did some school productions when they were younger, the ones that like to sing all the time, or people that you just think have a little bit of je ne sais quoi about them.
Yeah, John Ballantyne says, hit up all your friends that can act, or even the ones that just have an interest in sound and voice. A good example of this that we could relate to is our friend Jim, who, you know, wasn't involved in drama at all. He's got quite a good voice. He could do lots of different voices. And we got him involved and he became a really important character in Aftermath. And now we use him all the time. So don't ignore those around you. If you've got someone that you think might be good, they probably will be. So yeah, try them out.
He wasn't even the first choice for Jimmy, was he? We tried somebody else that just didn't quite fit. And then we tried him. And straight away it was a yes from me and a yes from you. Absolutely.
Another route that you could look down is the local newspaper, and I realise that this is a bit antiquated, but as we mentioned earlier, you don't want to just end up with lots and lots of young actors. So if you think about it, and I don't know, is this a fair comment to make? I think it is, that generally your older generation are going to be reading the local paper. I don't know that it's widely distributed, you know, to people our age, is it?
I don't know a lot of people that I know that are older that are on many different Facebook groups, I have to say. And they all still read newspapers. I don't. My dad does. My father-in-law does. And so on. So, yeah, I think that's a good shout, actually. You never know. Especially the local newspaper that they've been reading for 60 years. A little lad in there saying, hey, we're having folk come along to try out for radio acting or something, you know, very, very straightforward rather than audiodramaproduction.com/audition, you know.
Yeah, you would definitely call it radio drama if you were going down that route. And by the way, like, local papers probably desperate for content. They'd probably love to run a wee story on what you're up to.
That's a good idea.
You know, you see some of the stuff that gets in local papers, like man stands in dog's dirt. So to know that, you know, for a journalist that works for the paper, he's probably tearing his hair out trying to find stories, so get in touch with
him. You know Caitlin, that's been in many of our different productions, including Aftermath, you know, she was in the paper because she tried to get into her mum's car and realised it was somebody else's car.
Yeah, I remember that.
Had that got in the paper? And I think the headline was, I'm no car thief, says teenager, because she'd managed to frighten an old woman. I mean, if that gets in the paper, then surely us putting on auditions for a local theatre group has got a chance, at least. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Caitlin. It was a wonderful story, and she told it well. But, yeah, we've got a chance.
So, yeah, a recap of what were mentioned then.
Yep.
Why you might want to work locally, more control over your work, building a community feel, having actors perform with each other, and increased consistency of release schedule.
Or cutting down the amount of time it takes to get all your audio together, in other words. I can't stress that enough, I really can't. Anyway, things to consider, where will we record and where will I find actors?
So you could record in the field with a Zoom recorder or something similar. Someone's house, you could create a small studio at home, use a local college or university, or even a music studio if you're willing and able to pay for one.
Yeah, and when it comes to finding actors, you can contact your local college or university whilst you're also using the studio. Contact local drama or theatre groups, and you can advertise on the internet, Facebook groups, Gumtree, Craigslist, take care. And even those friends that might not ever have actually done any acting but have always harboured a hankering to do so, you never know. Ask them. You might just be surprised, like we've been fairly surprised with quite a few people.
And the local paper, don't forget that.
That's right, local paper. A lot of older people might not be quite as au fait as us with the internet. I mean, fine, they're using email and they can get on Facebook, but they might not be in tune with the different Facebook groups and the rules and the regulations and so on.
So we'll refer you as well to some past episodes. Matthew Boudreau, recording your production locally. We'll put that in the show notes. That's well worth a listen if you hadn't heard it already.
Yep. Betsy Palmer and Monique Boudreau, building your talent pool and taking good care of them.
Another excellent interview there, especially if you're wondering, you know, how am I going to get people without paying them? So there was some fantastic tips in there. And the man himself, Casey Wayland, as well on casting your show. So all those in the show notes for your enjoyment.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm going to have to say here, I've started listening to We're Alive again from the start. It's been a while since I've heard it. And I can't believe I didn't realise it at the time, but I can't believe how good the acting is.
Yeah, yeah, it just is brilliant. There's not much more you could say, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and it shows you just how far we've come and from how far back we've come, because at the time we didn't even realise how good the acting was. And it's only now you go back and you think, my God, the depth, the breadth, the height, whatever, you know. So it's interesting. It might be worth revisiting old podcasts and picking up voice acting tips as well. That's what I'm doing, certainly.
Funny you should say that, because I did ask on the Facebook group recently. I said I'd like to get someone on to talk about teaching voice acting, you know, having tips for people about voice acting.
Yeah.
Someone, I think it might have been Kessie, had mentioned Alisa Elliott, who is one of the We're Alive cast members. Got in touch with Alisa, asked her if she wanted to come on the show, and she said that
no.
She would like that.
Oh, right, she said fine. Yeah.
She said no, yeah. But that's the story. So we'll hopefully be able to sort that out in the next couple of weeks. If you've any particular questions you'd like me to ask, get in touch, info@yapaudio.co.uk. And now, Robert, your favourite feature on a weekly basis, spam email of the week. And I've got one up for you here if you'd like to take a wee look.
I would. I have, and I'm ready.
On you go then.
Please read with open minds and reply back.
So, again, good call to action in the title there.
Yeah, might as well put do not delete. Do not delete. Just don't. Just read it. Just do it. Just hand over money and then we'll all be better off, or at least I will. That's what they should put in the subject field. And that's from a Mr. Boromo Williams.
Do you know, I seriously do know the capital of Burkina Faso before it's written down here, and I know how to produce it. I know how to pronounce it. It's Ouagadougou. My old geography teacher, Mr. West, used to ask us this on a weekly basis. What's the capital of Burkina Faso? Ouagadougou.
Is that not a song by Black Velvet or something?
I don't know, it might be.
That's Ouagadou.
I always dream of the day that's a quiz question, but unfortunately the next time I encountered it after leaving school was in this email, which isn't very helpful. But anyway, continue. What's Mr. Boromo Williams looking for?
Attention, please. I crave your indulgence for the unsolicited nature of this letter, but it was born out of desperation and current development. Please, bear with me. My name is Mr. Boromo Williams, the director in charge of auditing section of Bank of Africa, brackets BOA, in Ouagadougou, thank you Matthew, Burkina Faso. I discovered existing dormant account. Well, I never. I seek your consent to present yourself as the next of kin of the deceased. As an auditor in the bank, I will use my position in the bank to help you stand as the, caps, next of kin to the deceased, so that the proceeds of this account valued at $10.8 million can be transferred to you. Now, I presume that's American dollars. This is the story in a nutshell. I will send you full details on how the business will be executed. And also note that you will receive 45% of the above-mentioned amount. 45%? Is that all? That's like 4.8, 4.9 million, I think. Something like that. If you agree to help me execute this business, kindly send the followings to me, such as your name, your telephone number, your credit card number. 4.9 million on a credit card.
He needs your credit card.
Why? Just deduct my fee from the 4.9 million and that'll be fine. I expect your urgent response with much anticipation. I'm about 7 exclamation marks. Hardly email grammar. etiquette from a bank official. Please feel free to contact me immediately for further details and clarifications in this regard if interested. Thanks and remain blessed. Not blessed, bless. Mr. Williams.
Well, Baromo, top marks for trying. I don't know if our credit cards are of any interest to you, to be honest, because certainly if you want to pay mine off, you're more than welcome. But I don't know if there's anything in there worth pursuing from your point of view.
Can't we reply with like a made up credit card number? Just reply with the number 6 or something.
I suppose we could. We'll do that. We'll see how we get on next week.
I mean, I think
maybe get Baromo on the show.
I've got a card that's maxed anyway. He's not getting anything out of that. But if he wants to put 4.9 million on it, then mind you, there is a currency transfer fee, isn't there, as well?
Why hasn't spam? Why hasn't it evolved in the past 15 years now? Like it's still. They're still going down this route of the bank account with a huge sum in it, and you know, if you can provide the account, we could split the money. And it's like, do they not know about like maybe adapting their strategy? Are they still getting results? I understand they might have got a few results in like 2001, but
yeah, the thing is, you know, the people here, we talk to each other. We've heard of this before. We have television. I mean, it's practically the guy in the suit and the thin moustache knocking on people's doors of people that have recently deceased and the next of kin saying, oh, is Mr. So-and-so in? Oh, he's dying. Oh, it's just that he ordered this Bible. It's $45 and, you know, oh, well, okay, then I'll buy the Bible for good old Papa or whatever. I mean, that's actually a fairly, almost a clever...
It's a decent scam.
If old scam, yeah, it goes back 70-odd years, but at least it's not that. At least it's not that. You know, knocking on the door and saying, I'm here to do some work in the street. I wondered if you wanted your roof tiling or whatever. it has evolved a little bit because it used to be Nigeria, didn't it? But now it's Burkina Faso.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Ouagadougou.
Yeah.
So,
Cairo tomorrow.
Yep.
You never know, working its way north. Thanks for the spam email of the week, Mr. Williams. Was that just the key spam of the week? There were probably
there were a lot of good candidates, but you don't want to spend too much time on it. So
no, fair enough.
That's about it for this week. On the time of recording, it's Saturday. It's Valentine's Day. My wife Julia made a cheesecake last night, and there's 2 steaks in the fridge. And I might just crack a beer once you leave. So I'm setting my stall out. What are you up to?
Well, it's 10:30 in the morning. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'm going to go straight home after this. I've not long finished work doing that newsy thing. And I'm going to join the wife and child and do whatever is asked of me. It won't be anything exciting. We'll watch a film tonight and I think order a meal in, which is interesting.
Good stuff. Well, you at the other end of those headphones or speaker on your telephone or laptop or whatever you're listening through, car, have a really, really good week. Get on the Facebook group, get on the email to us, bother us that way. Don't ask for our credit cards though, because we'll just read your email out and not give you it. What's the other routes? Twitter.
Yeah.
We have an Instagram now. We've got everything, just everything. Get us on Bebo.
Yeah. Send us a postcard to Yap Towers at Fife or something, I don't know. We're in Fife. It might reach us.
Might.
Famous enough in Fife yet? Probably not.
Doubt it.
No. Oh well, get in touch with us. If you want to, you will. You probably have enough skill to use Google. Yap Audio. Find us, reach us, connect with us. And until you do, we'll see you next time.
Love you.
Bye-bye.